Back on April 1st, 2013, then-Texas Governor Rick Perry, flanked by Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, still senators today, shared his thoughts about what had come to be known as Obamacare and its expansion of Medicaid.
Seems to me an appropriate April Fool's Day event to makes it perfect to discuss something as foolish as Medicaid expansion, and to remind everyone that Texas will not be held hostage by the Obama administration's attempt to force us into this fool's errand of adding more than a million Texans to a broken system.
A mass of protesters milled around outside Perry's office chanting, "Take the money, take the money," as the governor reiterated what he thought about the idea.
Medicaid expansion is, simply put, a misguided and ultimately doomed attempt to mask the shortcomings of Obamacare.
Perry stressed that Texas was among the first states to reject the offer from the federal government to add uninsured, low-income adults in every state to Medicaid so they could access health care, and the feds would pay for it. On that April Fool's Day, Perry's mind hadn't changed.
To repeat our stance, Texas will not be participating in Medicaid expansion.
But why leave all that money on the table and more than a million Texans uninsured?
Our decision is based on what is in the best interest of Texans, all Texans, and is one definitive way that we can seek to minimize the damage done by the institution of Obamacare.
Governor Greg Abbott would soon replace Perry in the governor's office, and his stance would be exactly the same. No Medicaid expansion, no how. More than 10 years later, Abbott hasn't budged, though the state he leads has the highest rate and largest number of uninsured adults in the country. Also, the coverage provided by the Affordable Care Act has not crashed and burned, as Governor Perry predicted, or left states holding the bag, as Perry claimed it would on that day. The feds still pay 90%, but in 2022, Abbott doubled down, telling Public Health Watch that he stands firm in his refusal to take the money on behalf of his constituents because expansion is, quote, a tax increase waiting to happen. And also that, quote, the best way to get health care insurance is through an employer. But that's not always true, of course. There are a lot of jobs that don't provide health insurance. We live in a gig economy, after all. There are a ton of freelancers out there working their tails off with no access to affordable health insurance who might qualify for Medicaid in an expansion state. And what if your health is what makes it difficult for you to get disability benefits that are designed for people whose health prevents them from working? That's life for many Texans with epilepsy. Public Health Watch reporter Kim Crisberg recently explored that part of the Medicaid expansion story. What happens if you have a chronic illness like epilepsy in Texas or another state that has rejected the Medicaid expansion? She joins us to share what she's learned about what it's like to live with epilepsy in the Medicaid coverage gap. From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Buddy Petri.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC.
So let's start with the definition. What is epilepsy?
Epilepsy is somewhat of an umbrella term for a lot of different seizure disorders. And there can be a lot of different causes of a person's epilepsy. That can be from a traumatic injury. It could be something that is genetic. And there's also a lot of different kinds of seizures.
That's Kim Crisberg, a journalist who has been covering public health for nearly a quarter of a century. She writes for Public Health Watch and recently wrote a piece called "Having Epilepsy and No Health Insurance Can Exact a Heavy Toll. The Plight is Likely More Common in Texas." So, Kim, you said that there are many different kinds of seizures. Could you tell me more about that?
For those of us who don't know anybody with epilepsy and we're very unfamiliar with it, we think of, you know, a person who's a sort of shaking on the floor, and we think of that as epilepsy. And that is one kind of seizure. But there are other kinds of seizures. Like, you can just, some people will just completely lose their muscle tone and just collapse. For some people, I learned, they can have these tiny little seizures called absence seizures, and where they just lose consciousness. So from the outside, it looks like a person is daydreaming, but they could have hundreds of those a day.
So an absence seizure can just look like someone's sort of staring into space. Atonic seizures are the ones that cause a person to lose muscle tone and crumple to the ground. And then there's one we've all probably seen on a TV show at some point, the tonic-clonic whole body seizure. My brother had those sometimes. They're really hard to watch. And there are a few other kinds too. So seizures happen when, for some reason, there's some abnormal electrical activity in the brain, and they can be triggered by just about anything. Lack of sleep, stress, shifts in hormones. There is a range of treatments that can help a person become close to seizure-free, but it's very individual and it can take time to discover an effective regimen.
What physicians told me is, a lot of times, because epilepsy is a sort of a spectrum of a disorder, is patients will have to try different kinds of medications or combinations of medications and therapies before they find the one that actually allows them to live as seizure-free as possible. That could even include something like surgery or an implant device. So there are a lot of different options if you can access those options.
The cost varies widely too, from medications that can cost, you know, like $30 a month to others that are like thousands of dollars a month.
So obviously, without access to healthcare, it could be extremely debilitating, because if you can't control your seizures, then it becomes very hard to hold down a job, and then you can't drive. And so it can have this domino effect if you're not able to access treatment.
Right. If you can't drive, it can be really hard to get to work. And what kinds of jobs can you safely do if you might have a seizure at any time? So there's your catch-22, right? If you can't afford a doctor and medication to control your seizures, you can't get a job. And if you don't have a job, then how are you going to pay for a doctor and medication? Now, in a Medicaid expansion state, a person with epilepsy would be able to see a specialist and work to achieve that right balance of medication. They might also be able to get surgery to eliminate their seizures. But Texas, as Rick Terry told us a few minutes ago and Greg Abbott reiterated, is not a Medicaid expansion state. Kim Crisberg thought that was a story that needed attention.
What had been covered mostly when it came to Medicaid expansion in places like Texas, which is sort of the political viability of, like, will they, won't they, will they, won't they? And we always thought, like, there's so much more to the story than this. What about the opportunity costs? Like, what is being lost for everyday Texans, working Texans, because we don't have Medicaid expansion? So that's sort of how we came to this story, is what is it like to live with epilepsy in Texas and not have health insurance? What is it like to live with a chronic disease that you absolutely need access to regular healthcare for, in a place where it's very hard to be insured if you are among the working poor? And so that's how I came to meet Linda Smith. Linda, her epilepsy first presented itself about 20 years ago when she was about 30 years old, living in Arkansas, single mom, three kids at home, living on a low income. Her epilepsy first presented. She was able to access Arkansas Medicaid, see a specialist, get her seizures under control. And then she moved to Texas, to be near family and thought, I got Medicaid in Arkansas. Surely I'm going to get Medicaid in Texas. I have this disease. And she was not able to qualify because we don't have expansion. And so she ended up going years without insurance. She, you know, got medicine when she could afford it. So she had very spotty access to care and treatment. And she just did the best she could.
A lot of people are doing the best they can. According to Kim's reporting, about 3 million U.S. adults, including almost 300,000 Texans, have epilepsy. And even those with insurance face barriers to continuous care, from high costs and unemployment rates to lack of transportation. But Linda wanted to work. And eventually, she got a job at a gas station. No insurance, but some money for medicine.
She really liked that job. She talked about how much she really enjoyed that job. She was good at that job. She's a people person. And like a lot of people with epilepsy, she was afraid to tell her employer that she had epilepsy, which is a very common thing for people with this disorder. And so one day on the job, she did have a seizure.
The trigger was seeing a fatal car crash outside the gas station. She had a stress-induced seizure. Her coworkers called an ambulance and her boss found out. The boss did not fire her, but that seizure led to a slide in her ability to manage her epilepsy.
You know, if you're rationing your care, which is what you have to do, things get, you know, a little bit worse and worse. And her health began to worsen and she started having more seizures and it became unsafe for her to work. So she had to give up her job. And that was a job that she really liked. And it was just an example of how without insurance, a chronic disease like this can keep you in this cycle.
Dr. Charles Szabo says epilepsy is unique in this way.
One of the things that sort of differentiates epilepsy from many other neurological disorders is that just missing one or two doses, you can have a breakthrough seizure.
Szabo is an epileptologist, which is an epilepsy doctor, and a neurologist with UT Health San Antonio and the Epilepsy Foundation of Central and South Texas.
So let's say if you lose your job and you lose your insurance, then if you don't have the money to pay for the medication that you had because it's too expensive, then, you know, you end up often in an emergency room. Then, you know, they put you on some medication that may not be the medication that you tolerated before. So the whole economics of epilepsy is very complicated because of that. And because of the issue is that you really can't miss a dose.
I like that line there, the economics of epilepsy. Szabo is one of the experts CRISPR interviewed for her story, and he talked about how, even though uncontrolled epilepsy can make it almost impossible to get a job, it's also difficult to get approved for disability, which would qualify them for Medicaid insurance in Texas, even without an expansion.
They have to put in an application. They get rejected multiple times. That's typical for people in South Texas, at least. And then they hire, in many of these cases, a lawyer and law offices that will then advocate for them. But it's been always very complicated.
The bar is crazy high for people with epilepsy to get approved for disability. They have to be able to document a lot of seizures over a short period of time.
These numbers were like many times impossible to document, and then the people were rejected.
Medicaid expansion would have made it possible for these people to get Medicaid without having to jump through all these hoops, right? But as we heard at the top of the show, then Governor Rick Perry said, heck no. So let's drill down on that for a minute. Public Health Watch reporter Kim Crisberg, can you give us some details on the Medicaid situation right now in Texas?
Yeah, so right now in Texas, in terms of Texas Medicaid, it's extremely restrictive. Of course, we do not have Medicaid expansion. And for folks that don't know, Medicaid expansion was authorized in 2010 via the Affordable Care Act. States started putting into place in 2014, and it expanded eligibility for Medicaid up to 138% of the federal poverty level for low-income adults. And that was a big deal because in a lot of states and a lot of places before that, if you were a low-income adult, the only way you could qualify for Medicaid is if you have a qualifying disability if you are pregnant and low income, or if you're a child. And that's pretty much like the way Texas Medicaid still is. So right now there's a huge swath of low-income working adults who are shut out of Medicaid, but who can't afford healthcare on the ACA marketplace.
So Texas could expand Medicaid anytime it wanted. Kim, what would that mean, not only for people with epilepsy, but for Texans in general?
So hundreds of thousands of more working poor Texans would be able to afford health coverage. They'd be able to go see a doctor. They'd be able to keep up with their chronic disease regimens better. And in the 10 years that the country has had Medicaid expansion across different states, the research shows that Medicaid expansion is associated with better healthcare access, better healthcare outcomes, and less medical debt.
There's that Governor Abbott quote in your story about Medicaid expansion being too expensive and that the best way to get health insurance is through your job, which implies that people on Medicaid just ought to get a job, right? Which is a conclusion that research doesn't really support.
Exactly. No, the majority of people on Medicaid are working. And if they're not working, they're probably either going to school, they have some sort of family caretaking responsibilities, they might have a disability that prevents them from working. And those are the facts. That's what we know about the Medicaid population.
What about the other part of the argument, the cost?
Medicaid is costly. It's a very large part of every state budget. Healthcare is expensive. However, there is also a cost to leaving people uninsured and unhealthy and sicker. So leaving people uninsured and sicker means that person is probably going to have to depend more on emergency room services for the healthcare, which is like the most expensive way that you can get healthcare is to go through an emergency room. It also means that that person not only is using the most expensive form of healthcare, it also puts all this extra pressure on emergency rooms. An emergency room isn't intended for primary care. And also from that person's perspective, they might have just gotten sick, like all of us do get sick eventually, we'll catch something. And instead of going to their regular doctor to catch it early, because they don't have insurance, they wait until they're very sick and it's much more costly to treat them. And they, again, end up in an emergency room, the most expensive place to treat it. So while it's expensive to fund Medicaid, it's also expensive to leave people uninsured. And at the end of the day, that very expensive care that people get in an emergency room that a lot of times they can't pay for is what we all absorb through our premiums. I mean, really, when the governor says that, it's not that these costs disappear, it's just that these costs shift to other places.
And most Texans are in favor of Medicaid expansion. In a 2024 poll, 71% of Texans said they support it, just not the ones at the state capitol. So at least for now, Texas remains a no. Which brings us back to Linda Smith, who found herself a safety net.
So they're able to go to these safety net clinics, see a neurologist, they're able to get access to medication that they can afford. And that's how I met Linda Smith.
We'll talk more about that when Petri Dish continues.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio's Mays Cancer Center, South Texas NCI-designated cancer center, providing cancer care for patients, advancing research, and educating the next generation of leaders. Mays Cancer Center is working to end cancer in South Texas and beyond. Learn more at mayscancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri. Back on the 4th of July, 2025, President Trump hosted a party at the White House where he signed into law a whole package of policies that he named the Big Beautiful Bill.
Mr. President, this is the gavel we use to enact the Big Beautiful Bill, and I want you to have that for your family.
The bill was big, and as law, it will cut nearly $1 trillion in Medicaid spending over the next 3 years. That makes those who advocate for people who need health insurance but can't afford it very nervous. Those cuts, That's a lot of money. And it makes one wonder what kind of safety nets are out there for people for whom regular health care isn't something they can go without. They need it. That's certainly true for people with epilepsy. We've been talking to Kim Crisberg with Public Health Watch about her story about having epilepsy in Texas and no health insurance, a plight that is too common. While researching this story, she found a small but sturdy safety net for people with epilepsy.
Texas is unique in that we do have some nonprofits in our state. There are Epilepsy Foundation nonprofits that actually run free seizure clinics for uninsured Texans with epilepsy who are living on low incomes. And so not every state has this. And so Texas is lucky in that way.
All thanks to a South Texan.
In the 80s, a legislator from the San Antonio area who had epilepsy created this program, the Texas Epilepsy Program, and that these state dollars largely fund these clinics. They don't cover everything, but they're a big part of how these clinics sustain themselves. And so if a person, uninsured Texan with epilepsy, can find their way to one of these clinics, it's a safety net clinic.
For an uninsured person with epilepsy, it's a lifeline.
It's where they can get specialized care, which is what a person with epilepsy needs. You can go to community health centers. That's your basic primary care, and they will take care of the uninsured. But it's not specialty care. And that's really what these people need to help with their epilepsy. So they're able to go to these safety net clinics, see a neurologist. They're able to get access to medication that they can afford.
Dr. Charles Zabo of the Epilepsy Foundation of Central and South Texas says when patients find one of these clinics, they get the kind of care that people with expensive insurance get.
Because they don't have insurance, they don't see a doctor. They don't see even a primary care doctor. So when they are referred to our clinics, we are basically responsible for getting the initial workup, using MRI, EEG, which they otherwise would have to pay for and would be very expensive. Well, while we're in the process of doing this, of course, we're already thinking what type of treatment to provide. That's another thing that can be very expensive.
And he means very expensive.
The treatments range anywhere from $30 to $40 a month to $10,000 a month. So, of course, we have to figure out which medications that they can use, that they can afford, which medications, of course, would be safest for them, especially in women. We have to also consider that women become pregnant. Not all medications are safe for pregnancy or equally safe for pregnancy. So we have to make those type of determinations as well.
Okay, so Kim, what can these clinics cover for a person with not too much money and no insurance?
These clinics and the funding they have is able to cover access to a neurologist, some basic neurology services, help accessing affordable medication. A lot of these clinics also a lot of times will offer like different social work support as well, because like a lot of times people with epilepsy are unable to work. And so they might have social workers to help them, you know, apply for other kinds of assistance. So these safety net clinics are able to offer a lot.
But there are limits.
And one of those limits is, for example, they cannot cover hospitalization and surgery, even if surgery is the best option for someone to live as seizure-free as possible. And to even determine who is a candidate for surgery requires hospitalization. A person has to, like, you know, go into the hospital, stay a few days. They have to monitor everything. They have to find the place in the brain where the seizures are coming from. It's an expensive process. So the clinic cannot cover that. It can't cover implant devices. That's, you know, very expensive. So these clinics are, I mean, they're really amazing places. They are changing people's lives. They are enabling people to work and take care of their family and go to school. But again, it's not health insurance.
Epilepsy Foundation of Central and South Texas serves about 1,700 low-income, uninsured patients from Austin to the Rio Grande Valley. But that isn't anywhere near all of the people in Texas who need this kind of care, and it isn't health insurance, right? Even the clinicians acknowledge that's what their patients really need, they say.
Yeah, of course, having health insurance would be great for our patients because it would expand their treatment options. It would give them access to other types of healthcare that have nothing to do with their epilepsy. So while they're extremely proud of what they're able to do and offer to people, they all agreed that having health insurance would be a huge benefit for their patients.
All they have to do is look at the 40 states that have expanded Medicaid.
The research bears out that because epilepsy impacts all these other social determinants in a person's life, right? Employment, income, transportation, all this kind of stuff. And so then when Medicaid expansion came on board, that was a huge deal for people with epilepsy and with lots of chronic conditions where your condition can impact all these other social determinants. Because what Medicaid expansion said was we're just going to determine your eligibility based on your income. You don't have to have a disability. You don't have to be pregnant. And so enabling people to have health insurance, get their condition under control, then that starts sort of boosting these other determinants that your condition might have been negatively impacting, right? Getting healthy might enable you to hold your job down better. Maybe it enables you to, push your income up. Then if you are able to get seizure free, then you can get your driver's license back. It's like, if you really think of health as the foundation to everything else in your life, then you can see why if you are uninsured and have a disease like epilepsy, it can just topple everything else if that one little piece of health insurance is missing.
But for right now, that 15 years of will they or won't they of Texas Medicaid expansion has taken a backseat to worries about what might happen when that big bill's Medicaid cuts start to roll out.
One of the big changes that will likely affect people with epilepsy are the new Medicaid work requirements. Now, these requirements only apply to Medicaid expansion states and people in Medicaid expansion population, so that will not impact Texas. But also, the Big Beautiful Bill also cut, I think it was about $1 trillion or so from the Medicaid system, or that's the projection. And so even in a place like Texas without Medicaid expansion, it is hard to see how a cut of that magnitude won't impact every state Medicaid program, so that even Texans with epilepsy who are able to get Medicaid, maybe they do qualify for Medicaid in some way, maybe based on they were able to get disability designation. It's hard to believe that a cut of that magnitude will not impact every state Medicaid program, everybody who depends on Medicaid. And then in terms of what it does to the chances of Texas adopting Medicaid expansion, who knows? I mean, Texas has been pretty well entrenched in its opposition to Medicaid expansion, despite support among a majority of Texans. Some experts have said that maybe with these new work requirements, more conservative leaders like those in Texas might be more amenable to Medicaid expansion, but it is yet to be seen.
All right, so I guess we are still talking about the will they or won't they. Maybe we always will be. Okay, so Kim, how is Linda? What's going on with her?
Yeah, so Linda was finally able to get her seizures under control. And recently, she had some other medical emergencies that had nothing to do with her epilepsy, but with other conditions that she is struggling with. She ended up at some urgent care and some ERs. And while she was going through this, someone at one of these facilities helped her reapply for coverage on the ACA marketplace, which she has tried before. And they were able to help her get a $0 premium plan, help her qualify for that. And so that's the only kind of plan that Linda can afford right now, is one that comes with zero premiums. But she did say that if things change, which they could, and if Linda's new health insurance goes beyond a $0 premium, she won't be able to afford it, and she thinks that she'll have to drop it. And so then she'll be back to where she was.
It is such an uncertain time for everyone, but especially populations like people with epilepsy. About 40% of people with the disorder between the ages of 18 and 64 depend on Medicaid. And Chris Berg says they really need someone or many someones to kind of have their backs.
Yeah, I think right now that's what they're hoping for, is that people with epilepsy can find some champions among lawmakers that will look out for their needs and the needs of so many others with a chronic disease that could very well get snagged up in all these new Medicaid cuts and changes and requirements and be left uninsured.
All right, so Kim, when you finish this story and handed it over to your editor, you know, you're done with your part. What were you hoping that your readers might take away from it?
I hope it helps people put themselves in these kinds of situations and think about what that would be like to be struggling with a chronic disease and trying to get it under control and to not be able to go see a doctor, like to not be able to afford to go to see a doctor, even though you need one. I hope people can put themselves in that situation. I think another thing I really hope people take away is right now we hear a lot about how expensive Medicaid is and how much states have to spend on Medicaid. But there is also an enormous cost to leaving people uninsured, letting people get sicker, letting people suffer with disease, letting people get preventable diseases. All of this costs not only the people and the families that have to deal with that intimately, but it costs our society as well and our communities. We all get sick and we all need healthcare. And right now we have a system where some people can afford to access healthcare and some people can't.
Those were definitely my takeaways and so much more. Thank you so much, Kim. And if you out there listening want to read Kim's story, then I hope you will. It's called Having Epilepsy and No Health Insurance Can Exact a Heavy Toll. The plight is likely more common in Texas. Just head on over to our website at tpr.org. We will link you up right there. This episode of Petri Dish was produced by Jacob Rosati, TPR Vice President of News, Dan Katz, and me. I wrote the show. Jacob composed the music, created the sound design, and edited the script. And also, we'd like to thank again Kim Crisberg at Public Health Watch for sharing her great reporting on this story. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon.